And let's see, we're going to head out of state, way out of state this morning. I don't know what, this could be Studio Z or something in the Carolinas, and Phil Taunton. Hey, Phil, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, Ron. We have some kind of interference coming on the line.
Hello there.
Hello, you got me?
I've got you.
All righty. Well, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was sort of a precarious start when we left Kansas the other day with the storms being forecast and everything. My daddy always told me that he thought I got mule kicked when I was a kid. And when I got on that airplane looking out there at that snow flying around, I thought maybe he was right. So I had second thoughts. But I have my faith in the Lord, so flying would just come natural. I'm here in Charlotte with Ginger and my niece, Aubrey Larkin. And we're going to try to get hold of a local guide, Craig Price. He is with Fish On Guide Service here. When we came into Charlotte, I mean, it was a white trip all the way to Detroit, Michigan. And I was sort of a little hesitant at Detroit, especially when all 12 to 15 snowplows went down the runway right ahead of us. And then the pilot come on and said, well, when they get the runway cleared, we'll take go over here and get de-iced. And so I looked at Ginger and sort of held her hand and said, well, honey, there's going to be some sunnier skies ahead, especially down there at Council Grove Marina. But everything worked out when we flew on down, and we could not see anything until we approached the airport here at Charlotte. And the plane sort of tipped a little bit, and I looked down, and you could not believe the amount of water I saw and just the lakes. And so once it got on the ground, I looked around to see what lake it was, and it's Lake Norman. And to put a little bit of things in perspective, of course, Kansas, we know about Milford Lake, and that is the biggest lake in Kansas. But this body of water is probably three times as big as Milford Lake. And so it was really cool. And if we can get a hold of Craig, or he's supposed to call in, we will talk a little bit more about fishing in North Carolina. And
we've got
waters.
Him, Phil.
All righty. Hello, Craig. How you doing?
Get him on here. There he is.
How are you? Did I lose you?
Oh, I don't know. Let's let me lock
Hello?
You. Let me Craig, hang on just a minute. We'll put you on hold here, and we'll get Phil back on, okay? Just a second.
Okay.
All right, so let's try this. And all right, Phil, you back?
Yeah, I'm back now. I
okay.
got cut off.
There we go.
I'll tell you, I'm just tickled to death to be on the ground, to tell you the truth. Now, if that was up in that airplane, I'd be a little shaky.
We had to de-ice here for a minute, Phil.
I can understand. But I understand that Craig is on the phone now. How you doing, Craig?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I hope everything went okay for you this morning, and I got a whole table full of notes, and I generally do this in front of my computer, but I do have a little booklet that came out. It's called Piedmont Lakes Pilot, and I'm seeing all kind of good information in there about North Carolina and fishing with it. And I did not know that coming down here. I did know that I had a second cousin, but I never knew he lived right on Lake Norman. So we're going to be talking to him on Sunday. But can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been a fishing guide, Craig?
Well, I've been a full-time guide for about 20 years. I grew up in this area and seem to be one of the few people that can say that anymore. But I grew up fishing the Catawba River lakes, which Lake Norman is one of. And we've got about 11 lakes that start up in the mountains of North Carolina and run down into South Carolina.
Well, Craig, I do have some pictures of your catch up on the Watson Outdoors Facebook page. And it's under my name, Phil Taunton, and then we'll get it over to our Watson Outdoors website as soon as my IT man can get to that. But you have caught some pretty impressive fish out here in Lake Norman.
Yeah, we've got a pretty good diverse fishery here, and that's true. You know, as you go into the mountains, some of the species change, but overall, they're good, diverse fisheries with a pretty wide range of game fish in them.
Well, just doing a little research and talking with you, I know you really love to fish for stripers and also the hybrids that have a different name down here. But the Kansas record for a striper was, it was caught on a live shad. And that was a 44-inch fish, weighed 44 pounds, and that was caught at Lake Wilson. Well, here in North Carolina, the state record is 66 pounds, and it was caught by a 17-year-old teenager out fishing for largemouth bass. And I think that's pretty cool, getting the kids out there fishing. Last week, we had a lady on the show that was just 14 at the time, and she's harvested the world record deer for a lady. So getting these kids out is very important to me, and they are setting records. Well, if I was to book a trip with you and come down to Lake Norman, how would we fish for stripers? That's a pretty new fish in Kansas. Well, it's new for me because I don't fish for them. So how would you fish for stripers coming down here to Lake Norman?
There's a lot of ways to catch them, but I'm a live bait, cut bait specialist. We do get opportunities to troll artificials for them. We jig for them. Sometimes we cast to them. But day in and day out, I'm going to be fishing live bait or cut bait.
Okay, live bait or cut bait. And that, going through these booklets and everything, when I think of bass, I think that they want a live bait, that they are a predator fish. And, of course, in Kansas, we have a blue cat that I call our apex predator. Just how strong a predator is a striper?
Well, a striper is kind of the Mac Daddy. I mean, you know, in nature, big things eat little things, and so it's all relative. But other than big catfish, the stripers are kind of the apex predator in these waters.
Well, when you mentioned cut bait, and like I said, the fishing at Wilson was caught on a live shad. When you mentioned cut bait, what type of bait do you cut up to use for?
Well, generally, you know, our primary forage are herring and shad. And so that's generally what we're using. And we'll use those for cut baits as well as live bait. But, again, big things eat little things, so crappie, brim, you know, any panfish, perch, they'll eat all of those. Even big stripers eat bass, too.
Well, I know in Kansas, a lot of my friends, when they had the opportunity, they went out ice fishing. And, you know, and talking with you the other day, is right now sort of a lull of a time for fishing in North Carolina, or do y'all fish down here year-round?
Well, we fish year-round, but, you know, you got to pay attention to the water temperatures. When the water gets to be 45 degrees Fahrenheit or colder, these fish get sluggish, and that's pretty much all species. So, you know, they don't eat as much. They're cold-blooded. They don't eat as much. They don't really chase baits. They will eat if something, you know, the opportunity presents itself right in front of them. But things do slow down, and it's generally February is kind of the month where things get tough. And, you know, our next trigger will be when the water temp gets back up to 50 degrees Fahrenheit and holds consistently and continues to climb into the spring and early summer.
Have you ever fished Kansas?
I have not. I was trying to think. I've never really fished west of the Mississippi River.
I was wondering if some of the techniques that you do here, and I have no idea how to really fish for a striper. I think if I caught one, it'd be by accident, just going out there. What type of equipment do you use your fishing combos?
I think the tactics are pretty similar wherever you go. Even walleye fishermen use some of these tactics, but we run, 15 to 20 pound class rods and reels, spooled with anything from 10 to 20 pound, could be mono or braid, and use a lot of Carolina rigs with just varying weights on them. It could be no weight, just the leader and the hook, which we call free lines or top lines, and then we put varying egg sinkers on them to get the baits down when needed. And that could be anything from a quarter ounce to maybe even up to 3 ounces, you know, if you're fishing deep enough and maybe in a lot of wind.
Well, Craig, I did fish one time for stripers on Lake Wilson. We had an outdoor writers conference out in that neck of the woods. And one thing we ran into was the fish were pretty deep. And now I think here in Lake Norman, if you were fishing, you caught one to be pretty deep. And when we brought some of the fish up, they were brought up too fast, and like the bladder was out, showing out of the throat. Do you run into that down here?
Yeah, you can run into that with almost any species that you bring up pretty quickly from, you know, 50 feet or below. And that's true of freshwater fish or saltwater fish. A lot of saltwater guys that fish offshore actually carry devices that they can use to depressurize those fish safely and release them so that they can live. And, you know, because basically you throw them back in there with their bladders all blown up, they're just a balloon, and they can't dive again.
One of the things that in my reading that talked about catfishing, and especially in the cold water, they talked about using a cut bait, maybe the size of your thumb. Have you found that to be successful in cold water, and do you got the catfish?
Yes, we do catch catfish, and we've got blues, flatheads, and channel cats. I believe the record in Lake Norman is still about 86 pounds, so there are some sizable fish in there. Basically, cold water, a rule of thumb, no matter where you are, smaller and slower. Because, again, these fish are, you know, everything about them slows down, and that includes their digestion. So they may not want a great big bait in wintertime.
In closing, some of the pictures that you sent me, of course, we have pictures of your boat. You're fishing with your wife. How rewarding is that to have the lady of the house out there on the water with you?
We really enjoy it. When I met her, she wasn't much of an outdoors lady, and she has really embraced it, everything from camping to fishing to whatever, and she's a pretty good angler now, and all our kids enjoy it. We've got grandkids now, and kind of going back to what you were alluding to earlier, you know, that's one of the rewards of doing what I do, is being able to introduce young people and people who, whether they're male or female, that aren't familiar with outdoors, being able to show them, you know, what the beauty and the rewards of an outdoor lifestyle.
Well, Craig, I do have one more question. Of course, I'm a big eater. I've probably been eating too much for my activity level lately. I am slowed down like those lunker catfish or stripers. But in looking at this little publication, it shows catfish chowder. And I never did think I'd like fish, you know, prepared any type of way other than just deep fat fried. Does the Price household have a favorite recipe you can share with my listeners?
Well, I tell you, as far as the stripers and hybrids go, and a lot of these fish are, you know, pretty good, clean, white meat. And even though they come out of freshwater, you know, a lot of people might be surprised to find out they're as good, as tasty as saltwater fish. And when we prepare our stripers, we like the Cajun seasoning, so we like to grill them with virgin olive oil on the fillets, and then we put blackened seasoning on them, and they are really, really good.
Well, Craig, appreciate you, and hopefully maybe in the next couple of days I can run into you out on the lake. I tell you, I love this fishery down here, and I do plan on spending a little bit more time down in North Carolina.
Well, that's great. We appreciate the publicity, and welcome everybody to come see what North Carolina is all about.
Okay. Ron, let's go to that first break, and I've got a very special lady with me who wants to tell about catching a $100 striper.
Ooh, all right. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors on KVOE Live and Local. Stay tuned. We're back with more after this.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
Just like us two-legged critters, livestock need fresh, clean water available 24 hours a day. The best way to get it is with Richie Waterers, and Blue Stem's got them. Richie Livestock Watering Systems only pump water when the animal needs it. Richie Waterers can keep water from freezing in the winter and keep it cool in the summer. Stop breaking your back breaking ice, hauling buckets, and scrubbing out water troughs. Get Richie Waterers. Fresh water for life. Come see all the Richie options at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
KVOE Live and Local Sunshine. We've got 4 degrees, a wind chill of -7 out there on a Friday morning. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors, brought to you by Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply and Express Tire and Auto. And back to North Carolina, where I doubt it is below zero. What kind of weather are you dealing with there, Phil?
61 degrees and rain here today, Ron. Ooh. We are looking for a sunny weekend. I'll tell you, these women have been gotten together, and I'm going to be going on some trips. Talking about going to a haunted, some kind of haunted type of deal. But I think that fell through. But we're going to visit Mr. Vanderbilt's big house, and I don't know quite where that is, but I think it sets on like 8 million acres. So that's gonna, we're going to take the nephews and nieces out there and just ride through this pretty North Carolina. Myrna and I came down to North Carolina several years ago. I wanted to see the Smoky Mountains, and I wasn't really impressed with it because they do have some big trees, and all we saw was trees. But now the leaves have fell off the trees, and it is a pretty countryside. Well, Ron, Kansas will be coming out with some other contests, and of course we're going to have our summer-long family fun fishing contest down at Council Grove, where we'll be awarding kids prizes all summer, starting in our first show in June like we did last year. And it's just so much rewarding to me to have these kids come in with their big smiles and tell me their fish story. So as I mentioned, my niece Aubrey Larkin here that we're visiting, and she was out with her husband. And once again, that's that man and woman out there together in a boat and having a good time together. Sometimes it doesn't work that way, but I know these two people like to fish. And she was in a contest. Well, it wasn't a contest. It was a state contest, sort of like what Kansas will have, to where they will have tagged fish out in the lake. And I think they're going to do that again. So that when that comes up, we'll have a special feature on that. But Aubrey, welcome to the What's In Outdoors show. Tell us about the day you and Craig went fishing and you caught that $100 striper.
Sure. So we had talked about it on the way to the lake, just kind of giving each other some razzins about, you know, if we were going to catch, who was going to catch the first fish. And we really didn't even talk about the tagged fish, because it's not, you know, it's not very likely. So the second fish that I pulled in, I noticed right away that there was something hanging off of it. And so I kind of got a little bit excited, and I pulled it in the boat, and I looked at it, and it was $100. It was a $100 tag, so I kind of looked around, and I started squealing, and everybody kind of joined me over by the boat, and it was probably one of the best points of the day. We caught a lot of fish that day. We were using frozen clams, but the fish was an average striper, so it wasn't too big, but that $100 tag sure did make me smile.
What other fish do you and Craig fish for?
Well, our favorite's probably bass. We like bass fishing. We have done some offshore fishing. I think my favorite catch was a wahoo. I did catch a wahoo once, and that was, he put up quite a fight. I was pretty tired afterwards, but for the most part, we were bass fishermen.
Well, thank you, Boo. I tell you, Ron, I wish you could see the excitement of this lady just talking about her fish, and I'm really digging it here, just visiting there. Of course, we're trying some different recipes that I'll be bringing to the show, so let's go to that last break, and I want to tell you what Watson Outdoors has plans for this summer.
All right. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors, coming to you from North Carolina today. Phil Taunton in North Carolina. Stay tuned. Back with more after this.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
The only thing better than a new pair of boots is a new pair of boots on sale. During Blue Stem's boot sale, they're reducing prices on men's and ladies' boots to make room for new styles. Save on boots for work, boots for play, and boots for getting all dressed up. Justin, Durango, Timberland Pro, Wolverine, Ariat, and lots more of your favorite brands. So kick up your heels and head on out to the early season boot sale going on now at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply. 2611 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, 848. 4 degrees and the wind chill of minus 7 out there on a Friday morning. Phil Totten, your host of What's In Outdoors, normally from Studio North on the Council Grove Lake, but Phil has flown to North Carolina hosting the program. Back to you, Phil.
Well, Ron, I tell you, one of the things I did on the flight was try to get this phone in order with emails that I had dating back to 2015. And just thinking back, I remember the first radio show I did for Watson Outdoors. That was in 2011, and I talked about perspective and things you see, and I talked about my first flight by myself, and I was scared. It was something else, and that was when I went to check myself out, and of course, with all the security going on, I was going down that line and started to get to the end of it, and a lady stepped out, sort of looked like Nurse Ratchet, and one flew over the cuckoo nest, and I was nervous, and she said, "Sir, you need a bend." I said, "What?" She said, "You need to bend," and I said, "Ma'am, what did you say?" She said, "We need you to bend. You need a bend." And so I started taking my pants down right there in the line. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, you told me to bend. Is this some kind of..." She said, "No, you need to get a bin to put all your valuables in." And so I do thank you for having me on for 10 years after that story. And I just, when I was checking in, I just thought about that. But I would really like to clue into that social media seminars that you have coming up on Monday, because these phones and the things we do through social media it's a lot of good, but you can get carried away with it. And through that, though, I put out a text, and I was still getting texts and things back on flying, and a friend of mine down in Arizona, she mentioned that, "Phil, if you need to, remember that seat can be used as a flotation device." And that's just not the kind of news I need to get going on a flight. But with that in mind, the Kansas Wildlife and Parks program last year was called the Water Waits, and that was a big promotion to get families outside. So with the Water Waits and that lady telling me about my chair and a flotation device, I was a little bit scrambled. But we are having our summer contest again. I did notice that on the Watson Outdoors webpage, Aaron has a whole lot of activities we'll be doing. Once again, we'll be in need of volunteers. So if there's anybody out there that would want to volunteer to help Watson Outdoors take a quality fishing program to young and old alike, I'd sure appreciate hearing from you. On March 11th through 13th, we've been invited to have a Watson Outdoors booth at the Kansas Open Season Sportsman Expo at Overland Park. And so if anybody's ever come to an outdoor show and see what we do to promote fishing, we'd sure like to get you aboard with that. So that's something that I'm be planning on getting together when I get back to Emporia. And above all, folks, stay safe out there. There will be sunny skies ahead. God bless him. Go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you, Phil. Appreciate it. Glad you made it out there safely. Enjoy your time. I know you'll do a lot of exploring, as you normally do, and we'll have some good stories to share with us when you're back next Friday here, What's In Outdoors. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right. Phil Taunton, What's In Outdoors, Friday mornings here at KVOE. Brought to you by Express Tire and Auto. John and Jenny and the exceptional crew out there on East 12th near the Water Tower always take great care of you. And Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. What's In Outdoors. Log on to KVOE.com and hop on the What's In Outdoors page under the Community tab. All kinds of great information, photos from Phil. KVOE Live in Local 852.
The Olympics are open. The fireworks at the opening ceremony in Beijing.